I want to desire your prayers again this evening. I trust my throat holds out. Maybe it'll be short-lived. I want to read a parable, a couple of parables, short parables in the Bible. We'll start, the first one is in Matthew, the 13th chapter, and the 44th verse. These are familiar parables. Matthew 13 and 44 says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field, and which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." And there's a, let's read the second one while we're here. Verse 45, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." So here we have two short parables talking about the kingdom of heaven, and very thought-provoking, because truly, in this day and age, there is a lot of talk of treasures, and of a lot of times they're more physical perhaps than they are spiritual, or so and forth. But here we have, this is a parable, it's a spiritual connection here, spiritual thought, but Jesus is using this parable, using some physical, temporal things. Now that's what a parable is, and trying to draw an analogy, something that these folks can relate to. But the kingdom of heaven, let's just dissect these little parables a little bit. And the kingdom of heaven, what is it? Well, it's none other than salvation, being a part of the kingdom of God here in this earth, the church of God. It's being a child of the king. It's feasting at the king's table, wearing royal robes, all those things. That's what the kingdom of God is about. And you think of, if you all remember the time when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, responding to him in Luke. It says, when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." You see, that's what a lot of the world, they look for. Where's the biggest church? Or what's the fanciest church? Or who has the best speaker as a preacher? Or whatever the case is, that's what they're looking for. Or who has the greatest, the most popular movement going on? In other words, there's certain trends that throughout the years, and ages, that there's certain things churches do to help their the size of their congregation, to increase their numbers. They'll put on plays and skits, or they'll have these bands that play, or they'll invite different music groups or whatever. But it's one of those things that they're after numbers. That's all it is. But the kingdom of God is more than that. And it says, Jesus said, "Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for the kingdom of God is within you." You know what's awesome about that is, even, I hope this never happens, but even if this chapel burnt down, we'd still have a church. You understand that? Because it's within us. And it's something that the world, they can't take it away from us, only if we give it up. And that is something the devil, he's hot on our heels. We know that. Because he wants us to give up this salvation thing. He wants us to give up on the thought that, well, we don't, our numbers aren't, multiplying, as greatly as some of these other churches, or maybe we don't, all these other things. And occasionally, maybe, like during a camp meeting or something, and maybe it seems like a service gets out of order just a little bit, and like, well, the devil wants to play with your mind, saying, what about this Holy Spirit leadership? Well, as Brother Ed has counseled me, he's like, well, it's still the best thing going to have the Holy Spirit leadership, because with him, with the Lord, he never fails. That's the deal. It's the people that's failed. It's not him. So let's stick with the one that never fails. And if anything, that also proves that we are human, okay? Because humans will fail. But here we have, the kingdom of God is within you. Now let's move on. and talk about this hidden treasure. Well, the hidden treasure is none other than the riches of Jesus Christ. It's all the things that Jesus brings with him into our lives. We just celebrated Easter. And I've heard some say that, you know, like Christmas time, we celebrate the time of Jesus' birth. And that's great and wonderful. But it's something we should celebrate not just at Christmas time. We need to celebrate it with our life every day. But it's the same with Easter. Let's not celebrate Easter just at the time of Easter. We need to celebrate Easter with our life every day. That this is the power of the resurrection. And it says here in Colossians, the second chapter and third verse, it says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of the wisdom and knowledge." You know what that means? That means Jesus has the power through the Holy Spirit to help us live every day successful. Now, is that awesome or what? How many times have you heard of people that have failed? You know, and it happens all the time. There's someone that maybe their business fails, or maybe there's someone's marriage that fails, or maybe there's another relationship that has failed, or whatever the case, or someone's body gives out on them and their health fails. Those things happen. But here we have something that's never going to fail us. This salvation, the riches of Jesus Christ, the things that he brings to us in this wonderful package deal, it's never going to fail us. It's going to help us to live everyday life successfully. You know, I've heard it said too, this is talking about, I guess you'd say the contentment side of it. You know, there's the scientists, they've done these studies, and it's interesting. They have means of doing studies that I don't have, and they've spent a lot of money studying, and they've discovered that people that smile a lot are healthier. And you know, I'm thinking, well, that's pretty neat, because there's someone that discovered that before they did. The Lord discovered that. It says in Proverbs, the 17th chapter, verse 22, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine." Isn't that wonderful that the Lord already has these things figured out? It's one of those hidden treasures that if you dig and you keep scratching and searching, you're going to find it. It's there. It's just for the taking. That's really all what it is. It's just one of those hidden things that you know, the world, they just kind of looked over those things. I still don't forget Brother Donnie Johnson. I can't remember his whole testimony one evening. But that's what he was talking about, that the world, they just don't see the blessedness of what we have with the salvation thing. It's as if, you know, the devil has all these other things to take their attention. And we're just sitting in the middle of all this, feasting at the table of God. That we have the best thing. And the scripture says, one of my favorites, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." That's the blessing of trusting the Lord, is we have all the hidden treasures available to us. Now, talking about this hidden treasure, there is an energy source behind it. Because you see, on our own, we're going to run out. We know that. The Lord can bless us in the morning and do all these things and throughout the day. But come the next day, we're going to need something else. The Lord gives us enough grace and strength to make it through one day. But then here comes day number two. We need the Lord again. Day number three. But there's something about it in John, the fourth chapter. Let's read what this is talking about. You all know this story. John 4, verse 14. Yeah, thank the Lord. The living water. John 4 and 14. Or let's start with 13. "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life." Isn't that wonderful? You could say it this way. It's an endless supply of whatever we need. How many times have you heard of someone, I've heard of business ventures that people have made, and of two different types here. I've heard of the type where maybe there's two or three individuals that this very wealthy individual hired to help build and promote a particular business. And it was amazing to hear of, it's like these two or three individuals that tried to build these businesses, it was like everything they tried, it just kept failing and failing. They come back to this wealthy person, the one, the entrepreneur, whoever it was, trying to get this going. And their counsel to him was, well, just get up and try again. I got some more money here. Just then try this, you know, whatever. Just try this and do that. And it's like it was an endless supply. They just kept going back. And but then you've also heard of the stories where the opposite took place. maybe whatever it was, it failed, and they go back and say, you know, we need some more money, or we need some more time, you know, to make this thing work. And they say, well, sorry, there's not any more money, and there's not any more time. You know, this is it. What a feeling of despair that you've put all this effort and energy into something to try to make something work, and you go back and you say, boy, I hope they got some more money. I hope they have some more time. I hope they'll have mercy and help us out here. And you come back and you go visit them, and they have this, you know, little interview with them, and they say, nope, sorry, the money's gone. You know, the resources are gone. It's not going to work. What a feeling that would be. But I want to tell you something. When it comes to living for the Lord, and maybe we've exhausted everything we had, we've tried, and we come back to the Lord and say, Lord, I need some help here. I need some more time. I need some mercy. I need some more grace. I need some more strength. I need whatever it is, wisdom. And you come back to the Lord, and the Lord's going to say, okay, child, you're doing what I told you to. You ask and you shall receive. And what is it you need? And sometimes there's conditions on it. You have to believe in faith, believing that the promises are true, and that he's not just going to try to spoil us and just give us anything we want anytime we ask. Sometimes we have to wait, be patient. But the point of the matter is the Lord is never going to turn us away. Isn't that wonderful? Because we know the scripture said, it says, whosoever, he's looking for anyone that needs salvation, anyone that needs some help. He can't turn that away. He can't turn you down. Well, how many times have we ever heard where the Lord turned us down? You ever heard of any? I haven't. I've never felt the Lord turn me down. Say, well, isn't that wonderful? But it's something about this well that just keeps giving and giving and giving and giving. It never runs dry. And I've heard of a story about a young lady that was in a difficult marriage, and they ended up having to separate and going through a really difficult time. And but how things turned out was amazing. This is proof of the power that God has available to each and every one of us. She was telling the story how that through the separation and all the troubles that followed, it was amazing that after a period of time, she was looking back and reflecting and realizing, of course, there was a lot of tears, a lot of prayers, all these things involved. But she realized that something had changed. Something was different within her. And it was as if it wasn't just all of a sudden that the change took place, but it was gradual. But then she looked back and realized, I don't have any bitterness. I don't have any anger. And she was amazed. Like, where'd this come from? It came from the Lord. She'd been praying about it. She'd been seeking the Lord about it. Shed tears. I mean, you name it. I mean, was beside herself. Didn't know what to do with her life and with her children. But the Lord found a way to provide that comfort, to provide that contentment, that peace that passeth understanding we've heard about. And not only that, the Lord was providing in a temporal way, providing money for her that she didn't know how she was going to pay the bills. And the Lord would work out a job here and help her sell something over here and work out this situation over here. And she was just amazed. Let me tell you something. That's the well of life springing up within. That's what the Lord's going to do for his children. So then let's talk about this part, whosoever will. That hidden treasure was hidden in a field. You notice it wasn't, this field was not in a, how can I say this? In a particular location to where only certain people could have access to it. Anyone could have access to this field. And that's what this fellow found. It was hidden. It was there. But anyone, whosoever will, all he had to do was search for it. It was available to anyone who wants to dig and search and seek and ask. It's there. The key is we have to come, ask, call, take it, whatever the case is. And so many times in this day and age, of course, we live with all the technology that helps make things easier, you know, the push button. But it goes beyond that. That's a voice activated now, you know, that all you have to do is just speak what you want, whether it's into your phone or into your car or all these different things, your house, you know, there's voice commands for it. Just speak the word and it's going to happen, you know. And sometimes it's easy to allow that mindset to work in serving the Lord, you know, that's like, I'm just going to make it happen just like that. You know, I speak it, the Lord's got to do it. The Lord doesn't always work that way. There is such a thing as, well, you all have no doubt heard this expression. You pray for patience. The Lord's going to send some trials your way to test your patience. But here it is where sometimes maybe we're not even praying for patience. We're praying for something else. But maybe the Lord sees that we need some patience. We didn't see we needed patience. But the Lord sees that, okay, you need that. All right, well, I'll help you provide that. But in the meantime, I'm going to try your patience because you need a little bit more patience. Only the Lord knows that. It's one of those things that we as humans, we like to judge each other, you know. Isn't this true? Where you maybe look upon someone else and, oh, well, they might need a little bit of this. And they might need a little bit of that. But I want to tell you something. We really don't know. The scripture says only the Lord knows the heart. We don't know. We're just humans. But there's something about it that the Lord knows. What's the scripture say? Even before we ask, he knows what we have need of. If it's patience, if it's temperance, whatever the case is, wisdom, the Lord knows what we have need of. And again, in Acts and Revelations, there's a couple of scriptures that says, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In Revelations it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. You get the message here? All you got to do is just come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Isn't that wonderful? All you have to do is give up yourself. That's a wonderful trade, because I'm going to tell you something. Of myself, I really don't have anything. All I have is rags, all right? My righteousness is filthy rags. There's nothing, but it's the Lord, all right? That's what I'm seeking, so I got to get rid of all of self to make room for the Lord. And he's going to make good on his promise. Well, then this hidden treasure says when he found it, he hid it. And that means he took the treasure and made it a part of him. That's what it's talking about. That when we find this treasure, this salvation, don't make it something that you just set up on a shelf. And maybe once a week, you take it down and say, okay, I'm going to go to church now. And I'm going to wear the salvation thing in front of everyone else at church. No. It's saying take this treasure that the Lord has given us and use it, hide it. Keep it within you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's what it's talking about. And it goes on here. And you hide it and take care of it so that no one will take it. because there's these little vultures out there. And the devil's going to be faithful on his end to send things along to try to pick and to pry apart and to tantalize us, whatever you want to call it, to try to steal that treasure. And what's it say in Revelations, the third chapter? Let's turn to read that. Revelation 3 and verse 11. It says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." You know, that's the part we have to do. First off, we have to give, open up, and empty out all of ourselves. Then we receive this hidden treasure. Then we have to hold on to it, hide it within us. And even when these vultures come lurking around, wanting to peck us to death, so to speak. I remember a story, I'm sorry, not a story, it's an experience that I had I'll never forget. It was years ago, one of my first jobs in my career. Had to go out to, it was the owner of this company, he had a turkey farm. And over there near Seligman. And I drove over there and we had some special chicken brooders, heaters, that we were testing. We made a lot of design changes on it. So we had them sitting over there at his farm and we were testing them. And, I'd been around chickens. I've been around chickens quite a bit, Uncle David's farm, since I was young. And so I knew all about chickens. And no big deal. But this was a turkey farm. And I never really had close encounters with turkeys. Now, I'm not talking about just these little turkeys, you know. We're talking about these turkeys were full grown. And it was a whole house full of them. And I opened the door, and I'm like, whoa. Okay, and I'm supposed to go in here and work on these chicken brooders with all these turkeys around me. And I found out really quick that these turkeys were rather curious. And they were rather ornery. Because you turn your back on them, and here they come. You know, if you're facing them, they'll get out of the way. But as soon as you turn the back on them, here they come. And if you lay your tools down over here behind you, and if you're not watching, they're going to take off with your tools. And you're having to chase them around, and I was like, well, I hope the farmer doesn't show up when I'm trying to chase these turkeys around retrieving my tools. But pesky little things. But you know, sometimes that's just like the devil. It's like everything's going good. I'm facing this obstacle, this situation. I'm working here, and I'm diligent here. But then here comes the enemy in the back door, so to speak, just wanting to pick on us, just wanting to peck around and try to take something from us. Well, you know what I figured out? There was a solution to that. Get all of my tools and hide them in the toolbox right in front of me. There's nothing they could do. You know, that's the same with salvation. All we have to do is hide all these things that the Lord has given us. Hold them close to your heart. Make it mean something to you that I don't want to lose this thing. Whatever victory the Lord gave you over here, or the Lord gave you some understanding in this situation, the Lord helped you over here, you hide those things in your heart. You roll them over in your mind. Think about them. Dwell on them. Meditate. Say, oh, Lord, you helped me here. And remind yourself that, and remind the Lord of, what's the song say, of where you brought me from? You know, what you did. And keep those things within there. Don't leave them behind, all right? That's what it's talking about. Hide that treasure, the salvation, and use it. Then it goes on. In 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 16, it says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." You know what that means? We have to keep this salvation fresh. In our souls, in our hearts, that it could be that eventually it could get stagnant. You realize that it sounds kind of odd to think of it. It could sour on you, all right? The salvation is great in itself, but if it's not maintained, something's going to happen. And if for that maintenance to take place, that means, what did the Lord say? That he's going to dig around within us, plow up the fallow ground. You know, the Lord's faithful to do that. He'll send things our way where we are going to have to dig. If we really mean business. Oh, we don't have to dig. We can just leave it sitting there. You know, have you seen these ponds that you drive by them and there's moss just covered them? And it's just still stagnated pond. And you know, you realize the cows won't even touch it. because the water is bitter, sour. It's polluted. It's not good. But then you go by these other ponds or these little lakes, and it's fresh. I mean, the water's moving. That there's no moss. It's not all covered. And that's what they enjoy. You know, that should be our salvation. It's something that not only we can enjoy, but others can come and drink of this well. That's, if our cup is running over, guess what? It's going to run over and help and bless someone else. That's what this thing is made for. But then let's go on here. And he said, for the joy thereof, he goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. You know, once this hidden treasure is fully discovered and we realize what we really have, truly, then it's like, oh, Lord, my righteousness is as filthy rags. I really didn't have anything to begin with. And that just makes us even more want to empty out whatever else is in there of ourselves. It's like, oh, I found this awesome thing that filled this void in my life. And now I'm thinking, oh, I got some more places in there that I want to get rid of that too, because I want some more of that goodness of the Lord. Isn't that how it works? That's what this hidden treasure is all about. And it's something that we gladly give up those things to make more room for the Lord. Again, like the woman at the well. But then there's, I'll tell another story. I think I've shared this before. But you know, sometimes folks, they may not say it to our face, but they'll make fun of the treasure that we found. You understand what I'm saying? It's like they may not to our face make fun of the way we live, but they prove it by their actions. Let me explain a little further. They kind of ignore us. Or they just kind of, they really don't, they think they're just a goody two-shoe, you know, just keep them away. Or they're too good for me, or they're holier than thou, and I don't want to, you know. Or whatever the case is, or maybe we make them uncomfortable because we're enjoying salvation. And they're not, you know. They're miserable, and they want to make everyone else around them miserable. And they just don't want to be around us. And sometimes the devil will use those things and try to slap us around a little bit and say, well, they don't all want to be around you because, man, you stink. You know, there's something wrong with you. But in reality, the salvation thing is really working. It's making them uncomfortable, okay? But the devil would love to think, to help. The devil would love to make us think that this treasure that we found is really of no value, okay? Now, that's leading up to the story. This is a true story of a lady up in Vancouver, B.C., she found, this was in recent history, she found something in a box of buttons that she bought at a little thrift store. And when she found this, she bought this box of buttons for a dollar, okay? And she goes home and she's digging around through this box and she finds something in there that looks like a diamond, okay? And she's thinking, wow, this is interesting. So she takes it to several different individuals, and, you know, hey, is this really a diamond, you know? And she tells them the story, and they're like, no, that isn't a diamond. That's just some fake, you know, it's a little button or something or whatever. It's really not a diamond. It's just a fake, you know, it's just plastic or whatever. And tried to downplay it, and she went to several people, and that was the same story that she got everywhere she went until finally, she found the right person and they took it and they looked at it and they're like, whoa, you know, where did you get that? You know, they realized that this is the real deal. But here's what's interesting. Once they discover that diamond, that's worth thousands, and they're thinking, where'd you steal it? You know what I'm saying? That they're very suspicious that, oh, you know, she's a poor lady. You know, she's shopping at a thrift store. Okay. And so, well, then everything, it all changes then. Oh, it's the real deal. And so they send the authorities in to investigate her. Isn't that interesting? That it's like she's not getting a break anywhere she goes. Like, she's innocent. Everything she's at first, they don't believe the story. Then once they believe it, they got to investigate her. Isn't that just like the devil? It's like, seems like anything you want to do for the Lord, try to do this for the Lord and whatever, and you're living your life and doing this, and it's like the devil just every way, he's just wanting to peck you apart. Isn't that what the devil does? Just to tantalize you, just to make fun of you, or to whatever the case was. Well, this lady, finally, in the end, everything was settled out. And yes, she was able to sell the diamond and get, I don't know the exact sum of money. It was worth several thousand dollars. And it was proof that it was true. It was legit in the end. But through all of this, she had to persevere through all of it. It's the same with you and I. That what's the scripture say? Be not weary in well-doing. That the devil, you go do something for the Lord, and maybe in your own self you're thinking, oh, I acted so silly, and the devil's going to want to make you feel like a fool and a failure, that why didn't you do it this way? Or maybe they misunderstood you. Now look what you did. And you really messed up over here and all these things. And the devil just making you feel worthless, making you feel like this treasure you have is just of no value. I want to tell you something. It is of great value. And to prove that, Jesus gave his life for this thing. That's how much it meant to him. And so that's something you can, if you want to say this, not in a carnal way, but it's like you can slap the devil back and say, hey, listen here. This thing is valuable because Jesus died for it. And guess what? You lost the battle. Jesus is the one. It's because of him that I have this treasure. And this is another saying I've shared with the young people, and someone really drove it home with me when I was a teenager. But isn't it amazing? When you really have something from the Lord, that's when the devil's going to battle you. In other words, if you go several months, a year, several years, without hardly any struggle, maybe you don't have what you need. You understand what I'm saying? When you really have something from the Lord, and it's working, this salvation thing is working in your life, and you're really hiding it within you, you're going to have to struggle to keep that thing hidden within you. Because like I mentioned earlier, these little vultures, these little turkeys, they're going to come around pecking on you. When you got something they want, they're going to keep messing with you. So take courage. If the devil's being a nuisance to you, and if he keeps battling you, you may have something that he wants to destroy. You may have something he wants to take away from you. So take courage from that. Then in conclusion here, this hidden treasure, pearl of great price. It was told to the disciples after Jesus told them the parable of the sower. And basically, he was wanting them to get a better understanding about the tares in the field. And let's turn to read that real quick. Back in Matthew 13th chapter. And it goes on down here. I'm sorry. Let's move. It's not on down. It's yeah. No, I may have written down some of the wrong. Anyway, the point was, he didn't want the disciples to cast away, to throw away this thing that he was bringing them, and to realize at the same time, the devil is going to be busy trying to sow these tares in the field, okay? That Jesus knew that once he had died and resurrected, he knew that immediately following, there's going to be some trials. There's going to be some tests. And you read the scriptures, read the book of Acts, and you'll find out that those that really got a hold of the Lord, which is all 11 of his disciples, of course, Judas made his own decision there, but the 11 that were left, and then other disciples followed after that, and then some of the martyrs, starting with Stephen, that through all of this, there's going to be some false prophets. You realize that even John the Revelator, it was one of the historians, I can't remember which one, I think it was Eusebius, maybe it was another Jewish historian that told him, anyway, that that even during the time of John the Revelator, when he was an old man, that there were false teachings going on about the millennial reign. Way back then. And when John the Revelator he was at one of the public baths there. And when he saw one of these fellas coming that taught and believed that false doctrine. Cerinthus? Okay, thank you. That when he saw him coming, he left. He didn't want to have any part of it because this man was very vocal in what he believed and promoted it, all right? And he's like, I don't want this, you know, place to cave in or whatever the case, because he knew God wasn't pleased with that. But here's the point, that throughout life, it doesn't matter when you cast your lot with the Lord, there's going to be trials and tribulations and troubles, okay? But I'm going to tell you something. The world's going to have them too. The difference is we have the Lord to help us through them. And that was the proof with the disciples. They all faced martyrdom, except for John the Revelator himself. But they faced some tough times. But there was a gleaning time. And it was all those that persecuted them, that did those things, that pleasing their flesh. They eventually, the Lord had his part with them. But those that were faithful, persevered to the end. Now, guess what? There are a cloud of witnesses over there, waiting on the other side. And it's one of those things that I'm looking forward to the day when I can sit down with John, I can sit down with Apostle Paul, sit down with Jesus, sit down with all those that have gone before, and they'll have their stories. But I want to tell you something. If I'm faithful and if you're faithful to the Lord, we're going to have our stories too. And here's the awesome thing. We're not going to have to close up shop, so to speak, come curfew time, all right, midnight. We'll have eternity, okay, to share all these stories that hitherto hath the Lord helped us. We can reflect back on all those times when the devil is trying to steal this from us, trying to steal that from us, all these treasures we've gathered through this wonderful plan of salvation. And in the end, we make it over there to the other side, and we gain then the greatest treasure, eternal life. And as the song says, it'll be worth it all. Through all these things, it'll be worth it all. So I want to encourage us tonight as we go through this new week. If you have something precious, the devil's going to fight you for it. But take courage that this treasure that you have, you can hide it within. I'm not talking about, not letting your light shine. That's not, don't hide it under a bushel. No, that's not what it's talking about. But it's meaning hiding that within, that means using it. That means holding it so near and dear to you, you don't want to let it go. You don't want the devil to take it from you. And we can all, it's a win-win situation. Brother Marty talked about that when he was here and he preached a little message. That the awesome thing is the Lord's going to give us the strength to hang on to this treasure. We don't have to hang on to it by ourselves. You understand that? When we commit it to the Lord, whatever the situation, say, Lord, I don't even have the strength to hang on. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to carry the cross, carry the load, and we can't take it any further. Like the old poem about footsteps in the sand. And the times we felt that we were alone, that God had forsaken us, he didn't forsake us. It was then that he was carrying us. We realized we couldn't do it on our own. We didn't want to let go of that treasure. With all of our strength, we're hanging, and the Lord's saying, all right, child, you're weary, you're worn, I'll do the rest for you. Just trust it in my hands. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful Savior, a wonderful plan, a wonderful hidden treasure? So isn't it worth hanging on to? You pray for me that I will.